Philippians chapter 2 tonight.
Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 down through verse 30. I think my good Paul. But tonight I want to bring you a message on where people working with people. People working with people. Now this is Paul, and it's Paul's writing, and you know, and Paul, after he got saved, that's one thing he done. He made sure that the people he talked to, that he would do anything that he had to do to get them to realize that people needed Jesus, and that Jesus was the only way. And he would even go about saying, if I do something, and if it offends you, I won't do it. And that's the way Paul was. But here tonight, just for a few moments tonight, I want to look at verses 17 down through 30. It says, ye, and if I be offended upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly upon you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which Christ, which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you, Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldiers, but your messenger and he that ministers to all wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye have heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more careful that when ye that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Our Father, tonight, we just want to thank you for the reading of thy word. And Lord, I pray, Father, tonight, that you'll just take each one of us that's here, and Father, you'll prepare our hearts in what you want to speak to us about tonight. And Lord, we do pray for the ones that's not here, God, that you may just bless them. And Father, and touch the people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. People working with people. This is speaking of Paul. This is speaking how Paul went about, and he would work with people. And he would, he not only just would work with them, but he would also teach them. And I think that's what he was trying to tell us, that he would teach them the things that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know. And if says in over in verse 1, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I would not. For I am straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy and faith." Verse 26 is that your rejoicing may be more abundantly in Jesus Christ. For me, by my coming to you again. The Lord, you know, Paul was an individual that wanted to live so close to Jesus Christ. And not only Paul wanted that for himself, but Paul also, he wanted it for the people that he come in contact with. And he told them about the Lord. You know, really, if we would really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, per se, and think about it, that's exactly what each one of us should have. Our desire that we would go out and the people that we do come in contact with, and we come in contact with people all the time. We come in contact with them in the doctor's offices, in the grocery stores, the pharmacies, and different things. We come in contact with them when we go get gas. They need to see something that's in our life that they would question their own selves. I would love to be like them. I would love to have something about them. But Paul, right here, and basically it's the same thing with Paul right here, what Paul was telling the people. But it says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice in me." Paul wants the people to experience the same joy that he experienced and he has been experiencing since the day that he got on the road to Damascus when he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He wanted other people to have the same kind of joy in their life that he had. And not only that, as Paul rejoiced any things that he would say, any things that he would do for the Lord Jesus, he wanted the people to understand that they can still have the same thing that he has. That they can rejoice in what they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ first before they can experience any kind of joy. Because over in the book of Galatians, chapter 2 or 3 there, it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not talking about joy. It don't speak about hope and all that. It speaks about love is the number one thing. Then it's love. Then it becomes joy. And then it becomes hope. And then it becomes meekness. All the other things come after love. And that's where we come in. We must show the people that we love them. That we love them at all costs. My wife, she gets so tickled with me when she goes with me and I go to the doctor or I'll go somewhere. Like today I went to the lab cat and they had to take some blood. I carry on with the people. I carry on with them. They said, "What are you doing today?" I said, "I'm just waiting to go home." They said, "Waiting to go home?" I said, "We gotta get your blood first." I said, "I ain't talking about the home I got here on this earth. I'm talking about the home that's out of this world." And then she said, "No, don't talk like that now." I said, "Why not?" It tells me in the Bible that's what I'm supposed to talk about all the time, going home. That's what over in the book of Titus tells me, that we need to look for that blessed hope, because we never know when that blessed hope is going to appear. I don't know the time. You don't either. And she says, "No," but she said, "but I want to keep your hand a little longer." I said, "Well, if it's time for me to go, I want to go. You ain't don't take no blood and you're going to keep me around along. Because if he wants me to go home, I'm going home with your permission or not." And then I just carry on with people all the time. And Shelby, she got to laughing and she said, "He crazy." I said, "Well, I know that, but you know." Which I don't care. I mean, people say I'm crazy, anything. I'm going to say something here that probably.
Well, I know. What you're saying.
No. But what I'm going to say here is Christy and Shelby, they just didn't understand why, how come I could just joke with people on certain things. People would come to me when I was working. They say, "Great day in the morning, man, you done got big." I said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's a whole lot for my wife to love." And I said, "And on top of that, she's a fantastic cook." Because I weighed 160 pounds when we got married 45 years ago. I said, hey, she's a good cook. And I don't mind eating it. I said, "I don't care. They call me fat if they want to. But one thing about it, one of these days, they're going to continue on being as big as they are. And being as nasty as they are. But one of these days I'm going to get home. And I'm going to slim on down. And I'm going to be at the age of 33. And they're going to be at the age of what they are. 60, 70, 80. I mean,
Hey, I tell it, I mean, I just tell the people. I mean, what can they do? What can they do? I mean, it's...
We live in this world anyhow,
and as much that goes on here, if we don't have a little humor about ourselves, we'll go crazy. I mean, literally. They'll put me in an institution. But if they ever put me in an institution, and I'm going to be like that, boy that, where his daddy finally put him in an institution. And the reason he did was because the mayor of that city kept complaining to his father about his son. And he says, you've got to do something about your son because he's going around everywhere and he's out there on the street corner. He's got his little book and his little Bible, and he's preaching. He preaches. I mean, he just don't let kind of talk. I mean, he's preaching loud and says he's upsetting some people. He's upsetting some of the high officials here. You've got to do something about that. He said, well, I reckon so, if, you know. If I'm going to have any good standings here, I really don't have to. So they did. Him and his wife took his son up north to an institution and put him in there. Come back, and they told him after they left him, they said, now, it'd be 1 month, 30 days before you can see him, before you can come back to see him again. They waited. 30 days was up, and all of a sudden, the boy's mother says, turned to her husband and says, I think it's about time we need to go see our son and see how he's doing. So they got an automobile, and they drove up north to where his son was at. They went inside, and they couldn't see where his son was at. They thought that they'd sent him to the right room. He won't die. So they started asking somebody, oh, you talking about him? Yeah. Oh, he's in the hall. Then some of the doctors and the caretakers over there, nurses, they said, he's doing fine. He's doing fantastic. I mean, really, he could probably go home if he, you know, if he wanted to, I'm sure, because he's really doing good. He really is. He hasn't given us no problems, hadn't given us no trouble at all.
So his mother started walking at his house. She heard his son. She went down, back to the right or left, which way it was. There he was. She could hear his voice, but she couldn't see it. She had people, he had people around on him. And then he saw his mother. And he went up to his mother. And he said, I sure am glad to see you. He said, son, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fantastic, Mama. He said, I'm doing great. I ain't never felt as good as I feel today. She said, well, I understand it's a good possibility. You might get good to come home. Well, we need to go see the doctor and everything. He said, Mama, leave me alone. I don't want to go home. I'm right where God wants me. God placed me here, and I got more people than I need to witness to.
he witnessed everybody there. Nurses, doctors, the doctors that come in would come in. And he witnessed to them. Doctors started getting saved. The nurses were getting saved. The patients were getting saved. He said, Mama, I ain't going nowhere. This is the venue that God wants me in. I'm going to stay right here. She said, Son, are you sure? He said, Yes, Mama.
I'm doing exactly what God wanted me to do. You know, and take that as something that we can all look to. That we need to realize that God has a purpose for each one of us as individuals. God has a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for your life. And He has a vineyard that He wants us to be a part of. Just like that young lad. I mean, he was doing, even when he was at home, and he was out on the street corner preaching. Hey, he knew something that the other people did not know. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew what he had to do for him, because he experienced the same thing that Paul had experienced right here. He experienced the saving grace of God. And here was, and the people in the town was calling him different names. And the mayor was telling his daddy, says, you got to do something with him. But what the mayor don't realize is that when he said that, he was going exactly where the Lord wanted him to go. But look at what that town and that city missed out on. They missed out on so many blessings that would come from that young man. Why? Because he was on fire. And he was not on one of these type fires that people are on fire today and they're gone out. And they're gone out tomorrow and everything. They go out here and they beat the bushes and they do this and they do that and they're praising the Lord all the time. And then all of a sudden, they get knocked down. And then they're not out there beating the bushes anymore. They're not out there witnessing anymore. They're not out there telling people about Jesus. And I get to thinking about that a whole lot of time. If I didn't have people, if I didn't have some people that was willing to come to my home and tell me about Jesus, where would I be at today? I have no idea. I doubt very seriously I'd be in church. I doubt very seriously that I would be reading from the King James Bible. I know I wouldn't be preaching. But it's because them people, they was working. They was working for who? For the Lord Jesus Christ. And while they was working for him, they found out some things about him that they didn't know before. That all they had to do was just go out and tell people about Jesus. Them three individuals is still on my heart today. But them three individuals are not here anymore. Them three individuals is in heaven. With the same Savior that they introduced me to. What was it that brought them to me? Their love. The love that they experienced from the Lord Jesus Christ. We can all go back and we can go back in times when before we got saved. I mean, I was 30 years old when I got saved, so I can go back and I can remember. I didn't know what the word love really meant. I didn't know what it meant. I thought I did, but I didn't. I didn't know what it meant. Because see, in God's word, there are three types of love. There are three types of love in God's word. And the first one is the E-R-O-S. Eros, love. Now what that's speaking about, that is speaking about the individual, the sexual type of love. That's the first one. Now the next one is the philos, love. And that love is a love of friendship. And then it's the agape love. That agape love is a love that can only come from God. And that agape love is God's love toward me and toward you. And as we get it in the Word of God after we're saved, and as we mature, and as we understand God's word, and different scriptures that we read, and we understand God's word a little better, then we will come to the point of loving people more. And we will love the individual that hates you, that will use you, you'll love them. They are the hard kind. But with God's love is so powerful that it would overlook the obstacles that you was against with them, that they would use you. They will say yes to you in your face and turn around. And if you happen to turn around, they will stab you in the back. But what God's love does, God's love puts on He puts us on another realm, another. Something else to focus on. We won't focus on them, where they're going to use us and where they're going to browbeat us and talk about us all the time. What God's going to do is say, you need to love them. And you know how we can show that we love them? pray for them. Pray for them. They need prayer. That's, people today are hurting. They're hurting, and they don't know what to do about it. We've seen all of this stuff has happened since the election. I didn't, Oregon and even New York City and different places around where the young people, they're going out and they tearing up stuff. They tearing up the cities. And they don't even know why they're doing it. They don't know why they're doing it. Because they think that that's what you're supposed to do. They're hurting. Yeah, and if we happen to go out there and we happen to talk to them or witness to them and just tell them, I love you. I love you in the Lord. They don't understand that. And I tell them all the time, I says, if there's anything I can ever do for you, let me know. I may not have the means. I may not have a financial situation. I may not have the money to give you. But I promise you that I have somebody that I can go to that can help you with your finances, can help you with your health, can help you with your marriage, can help you with your family, if you will just allow him to help you. And they said, well, who is this man? You know him. Who is he? And I said, you know something? It's not just one. It's three of them. It's three of them. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three of them wants to help you. But see, they turn around, they'll mock that, and they'll laugh at it. You don't laugh at God and get by with it. You don't mock God and get by with it. That's the reason I believe that we're seeing so much turmoil today, where people are taking someone else's life. Or some people is going out here and they think they can defy all the odds that they're up against. They can defy it all. And they know and they believe that they can still come out on top. You know, you can go out here and you can go home tonight and you get in your bed and you can get ready to go to sleep. And you can take a match and just throw it right there on your mattress. And you stay there. What's going to happen? You're going to end up dying. Right? Because the house is going to burn down. And you're going to still be in the bed. That's the way so many people, that's how they think. That they think that nothing else will bother them, that will harm them. They can do anything, but they cannot do anything. They cannot do nothing without God. And I wish people, that's one thing I wish people would really understand. That they may think that they can do without God. And they may go around here and walk around
And they may say, well, I'm going out this weekend. Me and my buddies, we going out.
Say, we're going to get us a case of beer. We might get maybe some liquor. And we might go out and get some marijuana and some heroin and all that. And we're going to go out. We're going to live it up this weekend. But what they don't realize, when they're doing all of that, when they're saying all of that, they're defying God. Because God don't want them that way. God does not want them to live in that situation, in that shape. It's not but one individual that wants them to live like that. And his name is Satan. His name is the devil. His name used to be called Lucifer, but it's not no more. One of these days, you know, it's right today, he knows his time is about ready to end. He knows he is coming down to that point. But his time is almost ready. And he's going to face him. He's going to face him. But you know what's going to be surprising to me is all the others that's going to be facing God at the judgment seat, at the white throne judgment seat. They're going to be facing God. But Lucifer, now Satan and the devil, he's going to be over here. And he's going to be I knew I had you. See, the thing about it is, when he goes, you're going to have that big chain. And he speaks of that chain in the Bible in Revelation. And they take that chain, and they take that chain and wrap it around his neck and everything. And they throw him overboard. Go over. It's going to be an endless pit for him. An endless pit for him. I don't want nobody in your family to go and not have the experience of joy and love that only God can give. I don't want no one that represents this church, family members or cousins or friends or whoever. I don't want anyone to die and go to hell. So what can we do about it? One thing we can do about it is just maybe pray a little different to God. Say, God, you know what it's going to take. I know, Lord, I've asked you before that I would love for my brother to get in church. I'd love for my brother just to come one time. And he might have a possibility of getting saved. I don't know. I need to get away from that kind of prayer. I say, God, you know where he lives at. You know where he works at. Know when he's going to be leaving work this evening. Whatever it takes, God, to bring him to you. Whether he's going to be in a car accident or what. I would rather see my brother get saved than to see him go to hell. I had it. Had you? I would rather see my brother in church serving the Lord. And to see him die go to hell. If it means that the Lord has to take me home for him to realize and for him to see where he needs to be saved. Lord, you take me home. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I would rather for the Lord to take me home than for me to save him. Watch my brother die and go to hell. Because he may would have a chance. I'm not saying that I'm better than him. I'm not. I'm not no better than he is. And I'm not one of these individuals like that does all the things that he does. I love the Lord. I also love my brother too, but my Lord comes first. And if that will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, for him to, for God the Father to take me home, for my brother to get saved, I'm ready to go. I know my wife and my daughter father will say, well, we are not right now. We're not ready. I can understand that. Thank you. They may see the realization. Well, my little brother, that is saved. And they will say to themselves, but you say it was an indemnity. I'm the same way with my family, and I'm the same way with your family. It's the only thing that I can do at all. I want to do it. Why? Because his burning love is right there. It burns. It's not a heartburn. It's not no acid reflux burn, nothing like it. It's a heart burn from God the Father and God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit. I still believe, and y'all, anybody can defy me, they can do it and say anything they want to. They can try to bring me down, do anything they want to. But I still say that Faith Baptist Church has not seen the last of the things that used to happen. It's going to continue on. Oh, yes, been a while since somebody got saved. Been a while since they probably used the battery. But I'll say this. Just as when God, when he sees it, the time and the place that he's going to touch my legs, and he's going to touch my body, what's going on with it? Then I need to be prepared for what is about to come out. Because my daughter said something last week to me and to a mom too, that really, maybe I thought about it one time, but I hadn't really concentrated on it, on what she said. She says, "Daddy, I know that you want your church to grow. I know you'd love to have a church full." She said, "But God knows how much you can have it right now with your health. What you need to do is just go to now and love them people, because them people, they love you." That's what she said. I hope you, I hope y'all do, but really, she told me, she says, "Daddy, if the people started coming in there and the church started filling up, you couldn't be able to stay and take care of it, because your health is not up for it right now." So don't you think God knows that? I said, "Well, yeah, we get it." But just because, and I'm going to tell you, and I know maybe some of y'all have thought this and everything, and I don't blame you for thinking if you have a thought. But maybe some of you, or some of them in the past, they said, "You know, he's been here 2.5, 2 years or something like that." And says, "Really, we ain't got no more people more than that." Says, "You know, maybe we'll get somebody else in here, because, hey, I wouldn't blame you. I don't blame you. Thinking that way. But did you realize something? That right now I can come up. I can come up in a way this week, and I could reveal it to you Sunday and say, I've got the answer now to where we can see more people come in. You say, "Well, preacher, what is it? What is it? You know, if we grow a little bit, we can get 4 or 5 more people in here. Grow a little bit. What is it, preacher?" Well, the first thing would be, I would probably have to open the two doors down in the baby weapon and the steps, and probably have two or three coffee pots down there, put some donuts in there where they could come and they could eat donuts and like that. And yeah, and they may want to bring it up here and say, you know. Or I can go and say, "Well, I tell you what, I know we know what the King James Bible says, and we know what it says and everything. But you know, some they don't understand and everything. So what we're going to start doing, we're going to start just reading the NIV Bible and everything." But in which you know what I say, you know what I'm going to say now. What is that going to do? That's not helping the ones that's going to come in. And two, the thing about it is, and the people that's here, it's not helping me. It's getting them away from God's word. We don't need that. So, if y'all are willing to put up with me, I'm willing to do my part. And I know I haven't done a whole lot of going out here and doing visiting, and I know I've had some people tell me, say, you should not have continued bringing that up. Well, they don't really know how much it does bother me that I can't go. Because I love to go, but I can't. I just don't have, I mean, right now, I just don't have the energy. On Monday, I can't even, I don't even get out of the house on Monday. And tomorrow, I won't get out of the house until after lunch tomorrow. I mean, but it really does, it does something to my legs. Makes them weak. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't tell none of y'all enough. I love each and every one of you. I love you. With all my being. Faith practice, as long as I have got breath, and as long as I have a heart, whether I got good sense or not, this church will always stand for Jesus Christ. And I'll always preach the whole counsel. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Lord, help us, Father, that we as people, we as your brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord Jesus, help us that we can be able to go out here and we can help other people. Father, just allowing them just to see us to where they may not even have met us or anything. But Father, we can just start carrying on a conversation. And Father, just like that, and just like that little new nurse this evening was training, you're coming at it. And will take my blood. Father, she hadn't been doing it that long. I think this was the first day that she started that. Lord, it didn't hurt me. I mean, it stung right at first, but at least I can get to witness the Lord. And Lord, and I pray, Father, for Lord Gabby there, Lord. Well, she goes, she says she goes to church once in a while. And Father, I just explained to her about the church gang. Lord Jesus, help her, we pray. She's 21 years old. She has a life ahead of her. Father, wouldn't it be wonderful if she had her life and had you walking with her, that her life could be more prosperous than it ever has before. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you just help us that we will continue to have the right mind. Continue to have the right heart, Father, so I can do what you've asked me to do. We love you, Father, and I love the people.